Welcome to the two-man game. I'm your host, Landon Holland, and with me, as always, my co-host, Xavier Rocha. What's up, Roach?
What's up, Dando? It's been a crazy day. I'm ready to talk some trades. Man,
what a day. Just absolutely insane, all that went down, and I think we're just going to get right into it with the biggest trade of the day.
Yes, I was just actually asleep. I bet a lot of people were. But Phoenix did end up getting their guy, Kevin Durant, and TJ Warren in a package that sent Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Jay Crowder, 4 unprotected firsts, and a 2028 first-round pick swap to the Nets. What are your initial thoughts on that, Dando?
I mean, you're getting Kevin Durant, so, and this team's already borderline contenders without this trade. I think it puts them right in the driver's seat as probably the favorites in my mind going into the second half of the season. I think when you look at a roster with Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and then Ayton playing alongside those guys, I don't know how you can't look at them as the favorites to win the finals. I mean, I can't believe they got this deal done. I mean, it makes sense for Brooklyn as they're kind of falling apart after the Kyrie trade and just not much hope for Durant to contend with the team around him. So yeah, the Nets obviously looking to move on from what they've been trying to do the last few years with all these stars, but props to the Suns because they got it done at the right time when the Nets were ready to move on from maybe the best player in the world. So
yeah, and it was just so out of nowhere because there was talks like the Nets, oh yeah, we're trying to keep Durant and build around him now, and then there were some rumblings like maybe they will deal him before the deadline. And then this just comes out of nowhere. Like, there wasn't a lot of talk about this happening or, like, anything. It was kept under wraps in the Suns when it made the move. And now you look at them and they might be the favorites to win after having some struggles this season. Just incredible. They're going to be so hard to stop. Their depth definitely took a hit, which I think they can build up through the buyout market and stuff like that. Teams are going to want to go, or players are going to want to go play with that group of players that they have. So if they can build up their depth through the buyout market, they're going to look, I mean, they already do look really good, but just if they can add more pieces, really hard to stop.
You just look at those four guys and they're instantly favorites, but yeah, you do bring up a good point about their depth. I mean, looking at their bench, they have Bismack Biyombo, TJ Warren, Damian Lee, Saben Lee, Josh Okogie. Like, that's not looking very good. Cameron Payne and Landry Shamet are hurt right now too. So, but yeah, the buyout market, they'll have some opportunities. I know Will Barton just got bought out, so maybe he's a guy they'll look to add to the depth of this team. Do you want to talk about just what Brooklyn was able to get? Because they did get some really good players in this deal, even though obviously they lost Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I mean, Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson are two really, really good shooters and then also pretty solid defenders. Mikal is obviously an all defensive type defender. And they're both still relatively young. I think they're both like 26, 27. So kind of hitting their peaks. And it kind of fits the timeline. Like, the Nets don't have their own pick, so they're not trying to go out there and tank. So they got players that can help them win, still try to compete a little bit with the players that they got in another trade that we'll talk about a little later. But I mean, they just have a bunch of solid, like 14 really good players on that team, like, that you can go out and compete with every single night. And Mikal and Cam Johnson definitely add to that. So I like their haul. You definitely want to get like that young all-star, young and upcoming all-star, but the Nets, I mean, got two good pieces back and got a ton of draft capital, so you got to always be happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, those are two super solid young wings in the NBA. Great shooters, great defenders. So, as a haul, getting them two and four first-round picks, I mean, it's a decent package, even though you're losing arguably the best player in the league. But yeah, I'm looking at Brooklyn's roster right now with this trade and the trade that we'll talk about here next. And I like their team. Obviously, they're not contenders anymore because they don't have any stars on their team anymore, but they have a nice young core of solid young players who have bright futures and are already cemented in this league as solid players. So, yeah, I like what I see out of this Nets team, even though they're losing Kevin Durant.
Yeah, and with the way that just Nick Claxton has been playing and Cam Thomas as of the last three games, like, you got two nice young pieces there to build around, and they definitely have the pieces around them to be really good. So, yeah, they just have so many good, like, shooters and just, like, so many good role players, like, on this team. It's crazy.
It's crazy to think about how last year at this time we were looking at a team with James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant, and just, all three of them gone.
Just how fast the roster turnover is in the NBA is crazy.
It's absurd. And
it's what makes this the most fun league in the world.
Exactly. So do you want to jump into the next trade, the first trade that we had of the deadline that caught everybody off guard? Kyrie to Dallas.
Yeah, so the Mavs got Kyrie Irving and Markieff Morris, and they sent the Nets Spencer Dinwiddie, Dorian Finney-Smith, a 2029 unprotected first, and then 2 seconds. So, I mean, at this time, Brooklyn was looking to still compete with Durant, or that was the belief around the league. And they ultimately sent the best player back to Dallas to pair with Luka, and that pairing is going to be super intriguing to see how those two play together, how they play off of each other, and just, I mean, their defense definitely took a hit in this. Dinwiddie, a bigger guard that can switch, and then Dorian Finney-Smith, just an excellent defender, 3-and-D player. Dallas is going to have to figure that out, but the offense of, like, Kyrie and Luka together is just going to be absurd what those guys can do on a night-in, night-out basis. So they're going to be super fun. Definitely a team that's up in the air. You don't know exactly how good they will be. Just Dallas kind of making a swing because with the roster they did have, they weren't going to go anywhere. So making a big move, getting a player in Kyrie Irving that's having a career year this year, been super efficient, scoring out of his mind. Adding that to Luka, who's been a top five player in this league, top MVP candidate, makes him scary for sure.
Yeah, I think Dallas obviously took a huge step forward. And I really, really like what they were able to do with this trade, surrounding Luka with another superstar caliber player. Obviously, Kyrie has his question marks around him with his ability to just fit in on any team. But I think if you're Dallas and that organization, you kind of just have to take a risk. And I think they're going to have to take risks throughout Luka's career just because of the type of player he is. They can't really afford to allow him to get disgruntled because they'd be stupid to let him leave their franchise, as he's going to be one of the best players in the league for the next decade at least. So yeah, Kyrie's just one of these experiments that they're going to have playing alongside Luka. And I think before the Durant trade happened today, they put themselves right in the mix as the top teams in the West to compete. But obviously now I think the Suns kind of put themselves over the hump against all those other teams. But yeah, even the young guys on this team, I've liked what I've seen. Josh Green's been better this year, especially as of late. I know Jaden Hardy had a nice 29-point game a few nights ago, and then and a few other nice games along the way in the recent past. So, yeah, I think this Dallas team has a solid core group of guys that can play alongside Kyrie and Luka, and I think losing Dorian Finney-Smith and Spencer Dinwiddie is something to look at, especially Dorian Finney-Smith, as he was one of their best wing defenders. But I think that'll just have to come down to Josh Green stepping up, as well as Reggie Bullock and other players. So, yeah, love the trade for both teams, obviously, with Kyrie not wanting to stay in Brooklyn anymore.
Yeah, and an interesting like thought about this trade is, like, I know we heard the rumblings about Luka telling the front office that he wants a move made and he wants some changes made. That's probably ultimately what led to Kyrie landing in Dallas. But just like, what if they don't can't retain Kyrie, and then also Christian Wood's a free agent if they can't retain him? Like, if they're not able to keep these guys, I don't know what their cap situation is, like who they would be able to, if they would be able to bring in anyone else or what this upcoming offseason, but like, I feel like this kind of has to work out, or they have to be able to retain Kyrie in the offseason, or it's just going to lead to Luka being more disgruntled, and the Mavs have kind of like diminished their trade equity, like with their draft picks, trading for Chris Epps Porzingis, and now Kyrie. I don't know how many more first round picks they have to give up. So like, if they're not in a good position, I feel like this could backfire pretty hard if Kyrie ends up not liking the situation and he's able to walk this free agency, and also Christian Wood having the chance to walk.
Yeah, I think that's a super interesting point. And I think, yeah, they're definitely going to have to play that risk, because especially with Kyrie being the type of guy that he is, just not being super loyal to any of the teams he's been a part of, as it seems. But as good of a player as Luka is, I think they're going to be able to find guys, quality players, to come play for them, as long as they're aggressive in the trade market, the free agent market. And I think they just have to trust that being aggressive is going to be the best move as a team, instead of what they have done in the past 3 years with Luka, as it seems like they've got a lot of quality players alongside of him, but haven't really thrown all the chips in to get a player like Kyrie. So I think this is something that they kind of had to do at some point, and waiting for the free agent market is always another risk, because sometimes, I mean, you're not going to hit any of the free agents you want to on that level of player. So,
yeah, and ultimately, I mean, what they gave up for Kyrie's not like a lot for like a superstar or like an all-star player like Kyrie. Like, one first round pick and two role players like is not a lot. So they definitely got him on a bargain deal, since his value wasn't super high. So if he does work out, it's a home run hit for the Mavs. So
yeah, I do like definitely that aspect. Definitely perfect timing with how sudden that trade request came compared to the deadline. And yeah, the value was great for them. So yeah, love what I see out of this Mavericks team. And unfortunately for them, Kevin Durant's going to the Suns.
That's ultimately what just trumps everything that happened this deadline, just because like how out of nowhere it was, and just just insane. Like, I can't wait to watch that team. It's just gonna be so fun. And the fact that they got TJ Warren too to fill in.
Like, I'll have to go see him live.
Yeah, you need to get to a game, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Man. The Thunder play there still two times, so you can go watch Shea too.
Might have to. That'd be an amazing game to watch. Might not be close, but
oh, it'll be close.
I'm not sure though how many games this Suns team's going to have all four of those guys the rest of the season, just because
Durant's out till post All-Star at least. Yeah.
And a lot of those guys have been struggling with injuries this year, so.
And that's, let's go back to the Suns trade real quick, because that's also a big point in that trade is like the health of those players. Like Booker struggled with his groin injury so far this year. If that pops back up in the playoffs, like losing one of your like stars that you have now with no bench is going to be like detrimental to that team. And that's ultimately what like stopped the Warriors in 2019 when Durant went down. They only had the big three of Klay, Dre, and Steph. And then Klay goes down. Now you only got two of them. So,
yeah, and they had no depth like, that year too. So,
like one injury and they're like they're not sitting good. So, it's a big risk, but if they do stay healthy, they're the favorites. So, just got to see how it plays out.
Yeah,
it's just scary for them with Chris Paul, but because Chris Paul's known to get hurt.
You ready to talk about the Lakers trade to wrap up this episode?
Yeah, let's do it. So this one was kind of talked about like throughout the entire day. Yesterday was kind of brought up around noon, midday yesterday, and then ended up happening around like 6 p.m. So, the Lakers acquired D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, and Jared Vanderbilt. And this was a three-team trade. And then Minnesota got Mike Conley, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Damian Jones, and three second-round picks. I don't know who those are coming from, like if they're coming from the Lakers and Utah. And then the Jazz got Westbrook and the 2027 Lakers first-round pick, top four protected. Initial thoughts on this one, Dando?
Yeah, I mean, I think initially you got to look at what the Lakers were able to do. I think Rob Pelinka did a great job in what he was able to get out of Westbrook and this first round pick. Not just getting D'Lo, but I think the two other guys are going to be a little bit under the radar. When people first look at this trade, I think Jared Vanderbilt and Malik Beasley could be pivotal parts of this Lakers team the rest of the season. I think it's going to be interesting to see what D'Lo's role is on this team because of his play style. I think he's not really a traditional point guard, so you don't see him really playmaking a ton, and he's not one to be much of a catch-and-shoot guy. He's more of like I wouldn't call him, I guess he's kind of like a ball stopper. Like you see him ISOing a lot and like taking contested threes as well as taking some like mid-range shots and getting to the rim occasionally. But I think just getting rid of Westbrook and getting another point guard that is very capable of shooting is something that they had to do. And I'm just interested to see how D'Lo fits alongside of those dominant guys of AD and LeBron being like the third option. And yeah, I don't know how much different he's going to look from what he has been this year on the T-Wolves, but I just want to hear your thoughts on what D'Lo, how he's going to fit on this team, because that's the most interesting thing to me.
I mean, you look at him, he's a better shooter, shooting a career high, actually 39% on 7 attempts is really good. Just his stretchability and being able to play off ball, which he's actually been doing really well as of late, playing off of Anthony Edwards there in Minnesota, is going to suit this Lakers team really well. LeBron is able to find shooters like nobody's business, and D'Lo should be able to get a lot of great looks. And then his ability for when LeBron does want some time off the ball or is sitting, his ability to kind of control an offense and get the team into an offense is going to be super helpful. And then he's also able to go get his own bucket. Not super, super efficient, but he is able to kind of isolate and then go get a bucket when needed. But I think the tricky thing is like his pick and roll ability. Russ was able to run the pick and roll with AD and LeBron really, really well, and D'Lo's not a great pick and roll player. So it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of use him in that situation. Like who are they going to have running pick and rolls with LeBron and AD, because they have been doing that a lot this season. So just kind of seeing how he fits there is going to be interesting to see. But his shooting definitely helps his team way more.
Yeah, and they still have like Dennis Schroeder, and I know Austin Reeves has been even running a decent amount of pick and rolls this year when he's been healthy. But yeah, you talked about D'Lo's shooting. Malik Beasley is also one of the better three-point shooters in the league and a great catch-and-shoot guy. And then Jared Vanderbilt, one of my favorite, like, scrappy rebounding defending players in the league. And I think his ability to guard, like, the other team's best player, like, he can guard 1 through 5. I think he's going to be maybe the most underrated piece of this whole trade deadline that people talk about, because I think his presence on this Lakers team is going to be really good for them. What are your thoughts about that take?
No, yeah, V8's going to play so well next to AD and LeBron. He just is going to be a scrappy guy that goes in there and plays amazing defense, can, like you said, switch onto any position and go out there and get rebounds for this Lakers team and kind of do the dirty work. And he's actually been not on a lot of attempts, but he has been able to kind of hit threes this year. He's shooting 33%. So if he's able to stretch the floor a little bit next AD and just kind of do the dirty work, he's a guy that this Lakers team definitely needed. And then Malik Beasley started off the year red hot from three, has been struggling as of late, but if he can get his shot back, that'll be super beneficial for this Lakers team. He's just kind of like a KCP guy, can catch and shoot threes and also just hustle on defense, which he will do too. So just all these guys fit so much better with this Lakers team, and they didn't have to give up a whole lot to get them. So just kind of a really good deal for this Lakers team, as they do get younger as well. D'Angelo Russell's 26, Jared Vanderbilt's 23, and then Malik Beasley's also 26. So they get way younger, which is nice for them too. I know Vanderbilt and Beasley are under contract for next year too, so they'll still have them. And then D'Lo's an upcoming free agent, so if they like how he's playing next to them, he can retain him or just let him walk and open up some cap space. So I like the deal for the Lakers a lot.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So what do you think about the Timberwolves? And I think there's been a lot of talk about them moving off of D'Lo for a while now. And now they add Mike Conley, who obviously he played beside Rudy Gobert on the Jazz, and now he's going to play alongside Anthony Edwards and Kat as well. I mean, this Timberwolves team has been a little bit underwhelming compared to what a lot of people thought they could do with the addition of Gobert. So what do you think about the pretty much swap from D'Lo to Conley?
Yeah, I mean, Conley's just that veteran presence that the Timberwolves needed. He's not like a aggressive, talkative leader, but he's going to be a steady veteran point guard presence that will know how to play with Rudy Gobert, which is going to be super helpful. He's going to be able to knock down open threes, open shots for the Timberwolves team, and just be a steady hand at the point guard position. Whereas D'Lo is kind of inconsistent at times, was kind of not found at times. Conley's going to be consistent, be a steady hand for this Minnesota team. So, I mean, I really like this deal for Minnesota, getting 3 seconds too. As we saw in this trade deadline, seconds were flying around for quality players. So getting that draft capital for future trades and future needs was super, super good for them. While also getting Conley, who is just as steady as they come at the point guard position.
Yeah, and then for Utah, obviously they are more in the mode of developing their young players and adding more assets to their team. They got Westbrook and a first-round pick in this, I think, and some other players. Can you give the details of what Utah got?
Well, Utah actually only got Russ and the 2027 Lakers first.
Okay, and they got like Juan Toscano-Anderson and Damian Jones?
No, Minnesota got
They got those guys.
Juan Toscano-Anderson and Damian Jones, yeah.
Okay, for some reason I just thought Minnesota got N'Keal, and they got the other two guys.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, just adding Westbrook in the first, obviously I think Westbrook could be a really good leader for this Utah team, kind of what he did in Washington, as like a guy that just plays hard, gets guys good shots. But yeah, love what I've seen from Utah's young guys this year. So just have a question for you about what do you think they're going to do with Westbrook? Do you think he's going to get that usage that he's gotten in the past, like on the Wizards team? Or do you think they're kind of going to put him in that six-man role and have him take a backseat to the rest of this young squad who's trying to grow?
Yeah, I mean, if they plan on keeping him, I feel like they'll definitely bench him. I don't know if they want him taking minutes or shots from their young core that has been playing pretty well. But if they do choose to start him, he's definitely a guy that's going to be able to get guys open, attack the basket, kick out to shooters, and create a nice pick-and-roll duo with Walker Kessler over there. So if they do keep him, I feel like he shouldn't start, but he could start. But
you think he could get that John Wall treatment?
I think, well, there's been talks about just like buying him out and just like he can go play for whoever he wants. And that's probably what will ultimately happen. Let him go join the Clippers or the Heat or whatever team he wants. So yeah, I think, I don't know what Utah was doing. There was talks this summer about like they could have traded Conley, Beasley, and Vanderbilt for the two unprotected first, that they never did that. So getting one first for those three players that is slightly protected, kind of an L, honestly. Danny Ainge might have got finessed.
Definitely the lesser of the three teams in this trade. Just buying him out obviously is an option, but you could hold on to him and see what he's got. Who knows? Some team might be desperate next year and throw a first or something at him, but who knows? But yeah, love what the other two teams did, especially the Lakers.
Yeah, I think the Lakers won the deal, but I also like it for Minnesota too.
Kind of funny that Westbrook's going to Utah because he's had a lot of history.
Yeah, and they don't like him. So
getting in some altercations with some Utah fans who are known to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but I don't even know if he'd want to ever play there. So he might just sit out if they don't buy him out. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we are going to hop on another episode right after this, and we'll probably release that a couple days after we release this episode. So, hope everybody enjoyed this episode. Next episode, we're going to be talking about all the other trades that went down today. We'll go from there. See you guys.
See you guys.